something every week. Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army!
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing?
Doing good. Got some Manchester United draws on my mind.
Come back, kids. It was a bruiser, bro. It was a bruiser. It was a sloppy open match, and it was like classic United Arsenal in that we were going in. Studs up, bro. Studs up all day.
Cold winter night. Unai Emery out there looking like Dracula. Count Dracula on the sideline. He looks like a weirdo.
Between the two of them, the two sulking managers. I mean, he looks like a more positive guy. He's very intense as well. That seems to be the modus operandi at the moment is like super intense, emotional managers. Him, Klopp, they all get very, very into the game.
I like the, sit down, stand up for a goal every once in a while, but...
Kick some water bottles.
Definitely not smashing
some water bottles.
Definitely not smashing the rack of water bottles, but hey, let's jump into the lineup. Ooh, this was controversial this week. We had Dave Saves, the world number one in net, Rojo, and on the left side of a back three, Smalling and Bailly. Where you been, Eric Bailly? Then you had Darmian, Matic, Herrera, and Delo. Martial, Lingard, and Rashford in a 3-4-2-1. Jose continuing to switch things up. And boy, Pogba and Lukaku on the bench. Huge decision from the manager. What'd you think?
Where you at, bro? That's another, what?
Pog drop.
Buck 60. 160 million pounds just on the bench, just chilling. I guess we don't need him. Interesting lineup, sir. Happy to see Delo. Rojo and Bailly are back. I just wanted to see Bailly. Didn't expect to see Rojo today in a back three.
I mean, where would...
Didn't know what to make of it, sir. Didn't know what to make of it.
Where were Bailly and Rojo, away at Southampton?
Where they been?
I mean, when Matic and McTominay are playing center back, like, where are these players? Like, why isn't he playing Rojo over McTominay?
Bailly?
Or Matic, for that matter. I mean, we did look better with these three at the back than we have in the past few games. So, I'm actually, of the lineup, I was happy with the defense. The midfield, I don't know. How do you not play Pogba? He's a difference maker, in my opinion. Pogba, for all the fighting him and Jose are doing, I do think that at the end of the day, he's a game changer and can change a game at any moment with a pass or with a shot.
And this kind of game as well, right? The way we're set up, there was so much space. It was the most space I'd ever seen us have this year. And I think it was because of the back three. They spread out the whole field by not having Pogba there to link up defense and attack. It was like we had to go through the wings. We had to go wide, which worked for a bit, but I think we missed that.
Yeah, Matic is out of form, did not get the drop. And, for me, you got to play Pogba in there. In some fashion, I think Matic and Pogba would be better instead of Herrera. Obviously, Herrera instrumental in the game. But I just did not like this lineup, and I called it nothing short of treasonous on the thread. These lineups are changing too much, too often. He's dropping stars because of Rose or whatever you want to call it. But it almost is like he wants to be fired and wants to go to Madrid right now. I don't have any idea what Mourinho's doing here.
I think he just doesn't give a shit anymore. And that's so clear in the lineups, in the personal tiffs, right? Like, he didn't start Bailly until this game, until he had an injury crisis, right, where he had to start him. He even put McTominay over him. And Bailly's a great defender, bro. His speed was so instrumental today. He caught down so many of their attacking players. So to have them just sit on the bench, not even sometimes feature on the bench, it's a huge waste of talent. And it's one of the main illustrative reasons why you got to yank Mourinho. You can't have all these grudges being the basis of your team selection, right? Leave Pogba and Lukaku off. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, and if you look at this formation, 3-4-2-1, it's negative, right? He didn't come out to win the game, and that's why I don't think Lukaku and Pogba were playing. And, what we heard last week out of the dressing room is Pogba said, your tactics don't allow me to pass to anyone. So he was kind of shooting back at Mourinho. He wants to play more attacking style of football, which I think all Manchester United fans want. And this formation and this lineup isn't saying I want to go for the win. So again, Mourinho, the negative tactics. We did get the draw, so he does have a result. But I think the Manchester United fans throughout the world, they want to see 3 points against Arsenal at home, because that's how we should be doing it as Manchester United. Let's jump into the first half. Started off pretty good. Rashford looking red hot. He came out, had a great shot early, looking like he was ready for a challenge. Looks like he wants to win the game.
But it was, he had a nice chance early. you know, would have liked to have a little bit more movement on the ball, but it was good of him to like make some space, put,
he's
a, put
assertive,
a chance
right?
on target. And this game was, dude, it was cagey to start with, bro. It was like we were just feeling each other out like a boxy match, but it was from the get-go, there wasn't a lot of chances, but it was just like...
We looked hungry.
A lot of hard tackles. We definitely, dude, played the high press. The most I've seen us play the high press this season. But we also like would find ourselves in unbelievable amounts of space and didn't know what to do with it sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
sloppy at the back.
Yeah, we were almost intimidated by the fact that like there was so much space to push forward. So I don't know what that is. Because maybe we're just not used to it.
Yeah, and without Pogba, the World Cup winner on the bench, you know, lots of different hairstyles for Paul P. But not getting the start, I thought he really could have made a difference in this game. Arsenal, you know, his physicality in the midfield, I really think that he could have put Rashford in or been the difference maker for that matter. I was more pissed about him not starting than Lukaku because you know how I feel about Lukaku. 26th minute, didn't have to wait long. Mustafi had a header from a corner. De Gea made the most of it. He must have been watching those Jordan Pickford highlights over the
Something
weekend.
Happened.
Something happened or he got hexed by Pickford so that everyone forget that mare of a goal. But he kind of parries the ball up and it goes back into the net. Last minute clearance, not good enough.
Over the line, dude.
Over the line, you know, and we can thank goal line technology for that goal because I don't think it would have been called a goal before goal line technology.
We're doing all the right things. Actually, this is probably like some of the better defense we've played all season. Three of the back definitely helped. And I think having Bailly's speed in there was huge. Darmian actually looked decent at times, but they were definitely going at the low early and often down that wing. He would give a good amount of space, but he always like kind of made up for it. But at the same time, it's like, you can't be doing this.
But
De Gea,
nothing
De Gea,
doing.
De Gea with the first mistake in, what, years? No, but defense from then, they weren't creating a ton,
We've
right?
seen mistakes from De Gea.
Not like this.
On the international side, though. Like this.
Like
he
this,
has
yes.
had some brain farts. This one cost us a lot. I thought we were coming out playing, you know, we were playing for our lives here in the first 26 minutes, and it didn't look pretty at some moments, but I don't think Arsenal deserved the goal. And that's something that, at home, you know, we look hungry, we're going to be fit and firing, but it's this type of mistake that just gives Arsenal, you know, that gives them the confidence, at least for a few minutes here, sir.
It's true. It's true. We should not be. I mean, De Gea doesn't make those mistakes usually for United. I think it was his first in 2 years. But that being said,
is it a mistake in the national team category that's tracked? The goalkeeper mistake?
Yeah, like a goalie basically leads to his own goal. Like he basically scored an own goal on himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Just like Pickford did over the weekend effectively. But sir, we did come back quickly both times. I don't know. Like we responded right
hey,
in the moment.
Arsenal's a bunch of chumps. Either way, this goal shouldn't have gone in and then we should have scored in the 30th minute regardless. Hey, Tony Marshall came from France. English press said he had no chance.
Birthday boy was in the mood.
50 million
down
the
drain.
Tony Marshall scores again. Okay. That's for you, Tony Marshall. Happy birthday, sir. Legendary goal. I mean, Herrera pulls it back off a free kick from Marcus Rojo, of all places. Herrera was a tad offside, puts it into the box, and easy as you like.
We'll take
Tony
it for now,
Marshall.
Bro. VAR's coming, but we'll take it for now.
We'll take it for now.
we'll take everything we take every goal we can get, sir.
And we're tied up, so again, crowd's in it. Everyone's rocking. Martial, you know, loving life. And then later in the first half, there was a really intense spell of play. 5 yellow cards in 5 minutes. Quality vintage English football, mate. That's what you want to see in an Arsenal Manchester United game. Hard challenges going in, lots of yellows being flashed.
It was unbelievable. It was like everyone lost the plot for like 10 minutes. And I think the ref was just trying to keep them calm and so didn't have to send anyone off. But it got real testy. And I like it. It's like what it used to be like when Arsenal played United.
Hey, smart refereeing. When you see it starting to go, you got to throw out those yellows, calm everyone down. Going at half, what were your thoughts? What do you think? Pogba's coming. We need Pogba. We need Lukaku. I mean, at this point, I did think we missed them.
I did think we
missed
them.
You know, we didn't get the chances. We didn't get that quality delivery into the dangerous areas as well.
It was a very defensive setup. I think like when we got the ball, we looked dangerous because of those three front men and their speed. But we still were like making stupid mistakes, not making the right pass. I think you put Paul Pogba in because he's your 90 million pound man, Meryl. And there's always room for Paul Pogba.
Herrera,
there's always room for him in this team. But I would... If you didn't do them at halftime, I do like early, depending on how the first half, the second half opened up.
Yeah, but second half, jumping into it, 63rd minute, say it ain't so. Martial goes down with an injury. Let's hope it's not serious. And Romelu Lukaku comes on the field to replace him. I did like Lukaku coming in. He showed a lot of power, physicality. Something we need up front, because we all know Arsenal is a bunch of baby bitches. Should be pushing around.
I think it rattled him a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. 68th minute. Own goal by Marcus Rojo. You know he's good for one coming back into this side. And now Arsenal lead 2-1. I think it was just kind of awkward challenge. He got beat pretty bad.
Combination of play. It was just like too much effort. He had too much Phil Jones on that play and just completely clattered with Bailly. And the ball just popped in the net, deflected, and went past De Gea, who can't come off his line a little bit. Unlucky. Unlucky lad.
Sloppy stuff, but, you know, Manchester United, we're at home.
Quick.
Down a goal.
As quick as I've ever seen.
And what do we need from the boys? We need a comeback goal. Easy as you like. Jesse Lingard catches the Arsenal defense, snoozing keeper out of his depths, and he slots it home. Nutmegs the keeper, actually, on a bad bounce. Lukaku challenged the long ball, so we're in law hoofball territory already. 69th minute. Off Lukaku. Weird deflection in between the defender and the keeper. Lingard pips it. 2-2. Easy as you like.
Dude, right place, right time. Neither of the defenders stepped up and made the right play. Jesse was ready to go, bro. Good finish.
And after that goal, this is kind of where I go sour on this game, because the team that was out playing and was hungrier to win was definitely not Manchester United at home. It was Arsenal. In the 71st minute, Aubameyang should have iced it for them. He had a chance right in front of De Gea. Amazing pass. And De Gea he made up for the own goal with this save here. Kick save and a beauty from David De Gea. Ridiculous stuff. World-class mate.
Dude, he makes it look easy. He does it week in and week out. He's done. Stole a lot of these goals back throughout the day, you know, from Hazard and beyond.
Sanchez, when he played for Arsenal, dude, if you recall that
he always
save
has
last
those
year.
Saves. I can't even remember the names, but yeah. He always does it, and he makes it look easy, and he came up with a worldie tonight.
We need to tweet out a proper highlight reel from Dave
bro?
Saves.
350, that's it?
Pay
give
the
him,
man.
Give him whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Give him a new house. Fly back to Spain every weekend. Whatever he wants. Give him a P-Jet. 72nd minute. Sub for Manchester United. It's hoofball, baby. Let's play it. Marouane Fellaini comes on to replace Marcus Rojo. Rojo, thanks for coming out. You let up a goal, but hey. And then in the 75th minute, another sub. Jose with his late subs in the most recent matches. He's been subbing pretty late here. 75th minute, Paul Pogba replaces Jesse Lingard. And, you know, Paul Pogba didn't look too effective coming on the field.
Didn't offer much, bro, because I think what we did do well in this game, and I'm not saying it was beautiful football, it was a bit of a clatter fest, but we did play the high press for once, and I think our team is kind of set up to play the high press if everyone's willing to run their asses off while they're on the pitch, because we have so much speed, right, that you can really burn a team on the counter. But when Pogba came on, he was going like 75%, which is better than a normal Paul Pogba performance, but everybody else was like, dude, Herrera was ripping around the field.
Last sub on the field, Pogba's definitely getting a little upset. You know, he should have started this game. It's all because he opens his mouth and talks back to the greatest troll in all Manchester, Jose Mourinho. It's Christmas. The Grinch. You can't talk back to the Grinch. He's going to bench you. And who knows if Paul Pogba would have made more of a difference starting. I think he would have, although Herrera did have that assist. Matic was kind of MIA, but it's the tactics for me. It wasn't terrible, but again, it's too negative for Manchester United, right? I mean, Jesse did a good job with his goal. Martial did a good job with his goal, but at the same time, it needs to be more sustained attacking pressure, more chances created for Manchester United, which I don't think we necessarily had compared to Arsenal. Looking at possession, jumping into the post game here, it was a snoozer after that. Other than a long-range shot by Aubameyang, another one De Gea had to do some work on, and then that was all she wrote. But stats-wise on the possession, Manchester United, 45% of the ball. Arsenal, 55%. That says it all right there. That's very negative at home, kind of supporting what I was saying earlier. But shots on target, Manchester United, 7 to Arsenal's 4.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, but I do think if you look at the Aubameyang chances, those were the two most dangerous Arsenal.
We did score
two
goals on ourselves. I mean, one of our goals was offsides. But our first goal was a keeper error, and the second goal was an own goal. So to be fair, it's like they had a couple chances, but we did better than we've done this season. I think that's because Bailly was really good. He's an effective player, bro, because they have so much speed None of our defenders are that fast and like can put in a tackle like that. Jones tries to, but I think he's more head than body and just injures himself every time. But we also like we were missing that magical element that Mata brings.
It looked pretty sloppy. This is not a convincing home performance.
No, but
where
I thought
we
the defense
were robbed
well.
And Arsenal didn't deserve to win.
I don't think they deserve to win.
BT Sport pundits after the match, Paul Scholes, Rio Ferdinand, they think that Arsenal was the better side on the day. And I actually would have to agree. If you look at Aubameyang, the difference in quality, those chances that he had, at the end of the day, they should have been converted and they probably should have won. So you take away the own goal, those two,
I give him one. I think I give him the foot save one. Yes. Like, what keepers are saving that? But the other one, I think a couple of keepers, maybe not Pickford these days, but
you know, I do think that this, I don't feel too positive after this result.
I'm just trying to pick a positive, sir.
Yeah, I know. I think if we won it, it would have been more of a steal in it. Arsenal switching off after the goals. But as far as our consistent build up, offensive pressure in the final third, chance creation,
not
link up play, triangles,
tactics,
first time shots. It's like we are not doing much. And even when we have hoofball tactics, we're not really getting it to Fellaini, Lukaku, packing in the box, getting it out to the wings, crossing it in. This overall strategy is not there. And that's kind of what Mourinho has brought to Manchester United going forward is just, hey, you know, eat what you kill. If you're a striker, you know, you go forward and you score, and there's no system that is bringing us goals and consistent attacking play here. It's just a little amalgamation. You might have Lingard go on his own, you might have Rashford go on his own, but there's no cohesion to
it. I'm not disagreeing with that, sir, and I'm not going to argue against it, but I am going to say it was good to see a little heart for once because it's been a while.
Yeah. That's the big takeaway.
The yellows, bro, and there was heart. They were running around the pitch, and they were. That's something because it has been a minute.
And Delo, another positive takeaway. You know, put him on. I mean, he's young.
The front three look good, bro. Too Lingard, Martial, and Rashford were a great front three at times. You know, it's like they are young. Lingard's as much, but like that could develop if the midfield figures it out.
Rashford has an iron will. The fact he's able to have those type of finishing chances,
he keeps running, bro.
He hasn't come off too well. He's young, bro.
He's 20.
His effort is always a maximum level every game, regardless of what he does or it doesn't finish. He's always up for the job. And that's something that Jose needs to think about.
That's mentality.
Mentality.
Oh, that's what it is, bro. He's hard, bro.
Born and raised.
Rock hard.
Rashford is red.
All right, sir.
Jumping into the post-game reaction and stats, Manchester United manager Jose Mourinho has only lost one of his 16 games against Arsenal in the Premier League, winning 7 and drawing 8, and remains unbeaten in home games in the competition against them. So Mourinho having Arsenal's number again.
Maybe I'll rub it in our face at the next press conference.
Yeah, he probably will. It's all about him, as we have been told and educated over the last 3 years. But we still won 3 points.
Look
I don't
that
care.
Stat. Look at
I
this
don't
next
care.
Stat. This is a hell of a stat, sir.
Manchester United have conceded more goals at Old Trafford in the Premier League this season, 10 in 7 games, than they did the whole of 2017-18 season.
Yikes.
And that's 9 and 18. That is unbelievable. That's how far we have fallen. And I'm looking at you, Eddie Woodward, when you said we don't need any defenders.
Largely justified.
And you kept that money in the coffers for the Glazers.
You're going to spend it soon, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's going to cost you way more.
The prices are going
up. Harry Maguire for 75 would not have been a bad deal. Next, Manchester United winger Anthony Martial. Tony Martial. No, not again. has scored 7 goals in his last 7 starts in the Premier League, with 3 of those coming at Old Trafford. Man, we need him to sign up a new deal, huh?
We really do. He's a great player. He's a long-term prospect, and he's banging in goals right now, bro. He's like all we got.
Yeah, of all of our attacking players, he's the one I think we need to nail down. Like, if you say Lukaku, is he bang on Manchester United? Like, we need him at Old Trafford. I'm the jury's out because this year, right? But Martial, I do think he's going to come up and be like
he's at fits and starts. He's at fits and starts as well, but I think Martial is the real deal.
The raw talent.
I also think Lukaku is the real deal, but I just don't think it's working under the system under Mourinho. But Martial, bro, he's what, 21? And he just plays like that?
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
Of course.
Yeah. And Jesse Lingard's second half equalizer for Manchester United came 74 seconds after Arsenal had taken a 2-1 lead and just 13 seconds after restarting the game from kickoff. I mean, lightning in a bottle, Jesse Lingard.
Lucky number 13.
Hey, we need him to finish at Old T. We need the youngsters to be putting in goals. So great to see Lingard get on the mark. And Manchester United have made a total of 7 changes to their starting 11 against Arsenal. Indeed, they have made more than any other team in the Premier League this season.
46.
Wow. So Manchester United, Jose Mourinho just really swapping things up and can't find a consistent team. And if you think of all Mourinho sides he's ever managed, including the Chelseas and the Madrids, he had a really consistent starting 11.
Always
it was almost the same.
Always the same.
Like, it would be like, why don't you change it?
No, that was
it's
his
so
thing.
Much
that
the same.
Thing.
They're going to get
never,
tired. They're
yeah,
going to get
he
injured. He never would change his side. And so that's why I think he's fucking with us right now. And despite the draw, checking into the table, because, you know, we're not out of it. Sort of mathematically, we're in the top four race. We're in the title race.
That's why he's still around. That's why he's still around.
So you're saying there's a chance. Despite the draw, United are still 8 points off the top four and are tied on points with AFC Bournemouth and Everton at 23.
And Everton.
Everton dropped points with that amazing Pickford issue. And, you know, we have an Everton a friend who's an Everton fan. And, man, this is tough. So we need to see daylight between us and Everton at the very least. Come on, boys. And let's jump into our post-game comments from the greatest troll in all Manchester.
Grinch. The Grinch himself. What's he saying this time, sir?
Quote, as always, we made mistakes and we paid for these mistakes.
It's true.
Mourinho, I'm not gonna argue always that. Make mistakes. We always make mistakes. I don't know. This is like.
We make a lot of mistakes.
It's a little
this
negative.
We make a lot of mistakes. He's right. It's negative.
But you don't have to say, I would edit that statement and be like, we made some mistakes and we paid for them. We could have got 3
as
points.
As always.
As always. You have to add in that extra salt. And next quote, today was more the same. More the same. He's such a
piece. More the same.
It's, like, it's almost like,
dude,
he's just like a grumpy.
He's trolling us.
It's almost like he's not the manager of Manchester United. Like, he just talked like
some guy he found in a pub loaded, just like,
yes, exactly.
Today was the same, tomorrow will be the same.
But with great spirit and people ready to have a go and fight hard, it was a credit to the team. The spirit was Manchester United, but we missed certain qualities.
I agree with that.
Quote
though.
Mourinho. So I do think the spirit was there, and I would say the quality we're missing.
It's
a well-coached team.
Bench, you know? It's on the bench.
No, it's a well-coached team like good tactics. I do think everyone came up for the game despite all the drama in the locker room. I tweeted out earlier this week, if the locker room's lost, there's no way we're going to get up for a game. Despite all the bullshit Mourinho's brought to the club, the players did get up for the game. But I would argue the right players weren't on the field and the right tactics weren't being used. And I'm going to blame the Grinch.
That's fair. You know why that's fair? Because a lot of these players are players that like aren't even getting game time, bro, and they're good enough to play, right? Herrera was like considered replaced by when Fred came in, and they're not even getting minutes. Herrera had a great game, so it's like there's plenty of talent at this team. It's just that Mourinho is fucking negative as shit. You know, we probably did need a center back, but like Bailly's pretty good, dude. He's the best center back on our team, without a doubt.
Bailly should be playing
every
game,
bro.
And Pochettino doesn't have sort of the dead wood pile that he doesn't select from because he just has personal beef with them. And I do think a better manager will get more out of this team, and it's only a matter of time.
Bleed us out, bro. They're going to bleed us out.
And Paul Scholes weighing in here, not good enough. That's all he has to say. He also was quoted on BT saying that he thought Arsenal deserved the win. They were the better side on the day. I will have to agree with him.
Disagree.
They did engage in our sloppy play and tactics, and they got beat for it.
They got down in the gutter with it, bro. They got
down
in the gutter with
down.
United. And I don't think they deserve to win, bro. I'm not saying we deserve to win, but I think results.
Paul Scholes scores.
It wasn't
goals.
Good enough. He's right that it's not good enough for a United team at home at Old Trafford playing under the lights on Wednesday night.
What they used
but
to do
to
Arsenal.
To lose.
Arsenal was never.
I know.
We never
bro.
Took Arsenal
bro.
Seriously.
I know.
Never took Arsenal seriously. The only time that anyone took Arsenal seriously.
Yeah, we are now.
Was the you know.
Was check out Arsenal TV.
Was how did Arsenal they TV? Had one season, and then we just mopped the floor with them. So for us to be like happy with a draw, come on, let's remember.
I'm not
who
saying
we
I'm
are.
Happy with a draw. I'm just saying we didn't deserve to lose.
Yeah, debatable. All right, jump into the Twitterverse. You know, a lot of stuff going on. We're going to check in with at Delo Diogo. Tony Marshall scores again. Music emoji. Happy birthday, bro. Looking for another one tonight. So sounds like they're getting turned up. celebrating the draw. There you go.
DeLo, these days.
Good to see him throwing some love at Tony Marshall's way. You always want to see camaraderie amongst the young players at United. And that hopefully when the Grinch departs, you know.
Those two flourish, bro.
Because DeLo, pastures.
He's got a lot of talent, and Martial's got a lot of talent. So they just need a positive manager.
Our next tweet, at Grant534. 3 points from 9, simply not good enough. Really sick and tired of Jose's deflective bullshit. I can't agree more.
I gotta agree with Grant.
But so this is in the reminder. This is in the EPL, right? Because we did get 3 points against Young Boys in the UCL. 3 points from 9, and let's
remember the 9. Remember the 9, though. The 3 teams you played.
Exactly. Crystal Palace, Southampton, and Arsenal. And guess who we have coming up? The worst team in the league. And if we get 4 points from 12. Come on, what is it going to take to get Jose out of this club?
Come on,
Eddie. What is it going to take to get him out of this club?
£14 million, you could like fundraise that between United fans around the world right now.
Yeah,
no problem.
Ship him out easy.
I'll throw in 10.
Next tweet, at Sam Pilger. Eric Bailly has given a brilliant and commanding performance, which makes his recent prolonged absence even more inexplicable. # MUFC. Sir, preaching to the choir for you, because you love Eric Bailly.
And he had a good game, bro, and there's no reason he should be... Especially with our leaky-ass defense, he should be shipped to the bench or worse. Sam, I agree. Gotta be starting Eric Bailly, bro. He's great.
Yeah, especially when you're playing McTominay and Modric at center back.
Exactly.
Mourinho. That's why I think he's trolling all of us right now. At Sibs MUFC, quote, still loads of seats available for Arsenal, a game that's usually balloted and sold out weeks in advance. This will bother our board far more than what's happening on the pitch. And this is something that surprised me as well. He actually put a screenshot of, you know, the ticket purchasing on the Manchester United website. If you ever bought tickets from Manchester United, you can see what's available in what sections. And man, there were quite a bit of availability. And we've gone to games like, you know, Newcastle at home, and like there's barely any seats available.
Couldn't,
you know,
together,
you're
right?
Starting to see, yeah, you're starting to see, you know, the cracks, right? And the board is gonna be paying attention
Arsenal,
to this, because
bro, Arsenal,
Arsenal
home,
at
like,
home,
oh,
and there's,
I know,
tickets,
it's Wednesday,
available.
But still,
that
it's like
is
Arsenal.
I think midweek probably has more to do with it than anything. I'm gonna say, but
still,
the fact is Arsenal at home, there should be no seats available. So,
well, we haven't been playing pretty football. I mean, this was kind of an entertaining game in the intensity of it and the goals. But we have not been playing pretty football, so you can kind of understand that this is a little bit of an FU to the team and the board. Not the team, but to the board.
I think it's the manager, the tactics, you know, the where we are on the table, you know. I mean, this is like a disease. It's a virus. It's a disease. It's spreading.
Kill that host, bro. Kill that host.
Got to kill it. So hopefully, Fulham at home. If you think there are tickets available for Arsenal at home, there's going to be plenty of seats available for Fulham at home if you're interested in heading to the match. And speaking of Fulham at home, that is our next match, sir. That's why we play the game. We always have a next match. Fulham versus Manchester United at Old Trafford, 7 a.m. Pacific, Saturday, December 8th. We will be up early, coffee ready, going to be watching it. Fit and fire in here.
Can't wait.
Fulham is the last in the league. They got 9 points and a minus 21 goal differential. So we have...
Feels like a draw to me.
Feels like a draw to
feels
you.
Feels like a draw to me, bro. It's like,
well, we still have that negative one goal differential, by the way. We've been carrying that for like a long time. It's, we like haven't hit. We got a
big
hit
old
someone.
Egg on our forehead.
If we could ever hit a team for 3, I'd say it'd be Fulham. But who is Mourinho going to start? How is he going to play?
Gosh.
I mean, it should be 4-3-3.
Keep it simple,
we should,
bro.
Be just,
he's going to play 3.
Banging
three.
Him
he
in.
He three at the back against Fulham, against the worst team in the league.
Exactly.
He might. He might.
Hey. Speaking of the lineup, let's jump into our injuries here. Martial, he came off. Apparently, it's a hamstring injury. Haven't heard much about it, but I doubt he's going to make the turnaround for Fulham. He's probably going to be sitting. Luke Shaw, still recovering from that knock. He might feature for the Fulham game. Phil Jones, same thing, just a knock. Sanchez out long-term. Valencia out till mid-December. And obviously, Lindelof out till later December or the week of Christmas, sir. He'll be back December 22nd, hopefully. But we shall see. Injuries kind of coming up. So now you have all these injuries, and then you have all the players Jose hates, who we're paying millions of dollars, he just doesn't want to play.
They got to play.
So, I mean, you're checking in that lineup. Who do you think is going to start? What type of tactics do you think we're going to go for here at home?
Sir, I think he's got to play a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3, something that's a little bit more offensive than this crazy shit.
I don't think he's ever played 4-4-2.
Ever?
Yeah, for Manchester United. It's more of the 4-3-2-1 is kind of how he likes
probably
to do
calling it. A 4-3-3. I think he's going to start. Who else would Dave say is in net? I think DeLow is going to feature again because he's got no one else to start right back. And then I'm going to see, I think, Bailly and Smalling as two center backs. And then I think Shaw pulls it out left back. Midfield, Matic is basically undroppable. Basically De Gea at this point with Pogba and Fred. And then I think you're going to see a midfield three of Mata, Lukaku, and Marcus Rashford.
Attacking three.
Attacking three.
There you go. So I'm going to say same thing, 4-3-3. I'm going to say my left back is going to be Rojo.
There you go.
Rojo. I'm going to do Smalling and Bailly. I'm going to bring in Ashley Young at right back. In the middle of the field, I'm going to do Fred, Herrera, and Pogba.
I like that.
I like that energy in there, that engine. And then I'm going to do Rashford, Lingard, and Mata. So I think we'll be starting those three. And actually, I'm going to take back Mata. I'm going to say Lukaku. So we're going to put Rashford, Lukaku, and Lingard. That's what I think for my front three. And I would love to see that front three. It would come through. And Pogba as well. We got to be playing Pogba, right?
And Fred, bro. Come on.
And Pogba, get some hairdos, right? I mean, like, he beat City.
With that hairdo?
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty.
A new hairdo, bro. You need a new hairdo. Something fire.
All right, sir. Score predictions. What do you think?
I'm calling 1-1. Snooze fest. Manchester United at Fulham. I think this breaks the camel's back and they get rid of Mourinho.
I'm going to say we finally come out fit and firing and we're going to score 3, but we're going to let in 1 and it's going to look ugly. So we're going to say 3-1, Manchester United win, lockdown, and we get finally break through the positive goal differential.
Let's do it.
We're going to break through the positive goal differential territory there with that 2-goal difference. Fulham at home. I mean, we got to be taking advantage of these weak sides. And how can you draw Arsenal and then turn it around and then draw Fulham? I mean, I know there's a lot of fixtures in December. I know that's hard physically, but we got to be able to pull out these 3 points.
We got a deep squad, but draws just not good enough. Right?
You predicted we were going to beat Arsenal, and then you predict a draw.
I think draws are in vogue at the moment, sir. You said we're going to lose.
There you go. Hey, all right, moving on. United in the news. Napoli reportedly turned down £91 million Manchester United offer for Kalidou Koulibaly per Bleacher Report. I don't know what they know, so take it for what it's worth. And this is according to Correo dello Sport. United have made an offer to make him the world's most expensive defender, but they swiftly turned it down. So
That's a lot of money, sir. What do you think?
Anyone
worth £91 million?
No way you would turn that money down. That's unbelievable.
£91 million. That's a lot of cheddar.
Hey, it's good that we are at least floating these rumors, or someone is, that we are like trying to spend money in the transfer market, because this is news to me, and I am not believing these rumors before I see them in a Manchester United jersey. That's how I'm operating.
Speaking
these days.
Speaking of players in a Manchester United jersey, sir, Manchester United boss Jose Mourinho targets Alex Witzel from
Alex Witzel.
Same letters, sir, just different order, from Borussia Dortmund. What do you think about that, sir? He is not young.
No, I'm lukewarm on Axel Witsel. I thought we would be in for him when he traded in the summer. He did play well for Belgium in the World Cup, and I mean, how many more midfielders do we need to buy? Don't we have our midfield right? It's like we brought in Fred. What are we doing? That's why this
you know what Axel Witsel
more of the same. I need a right winger. We need to be focusing on the right wing, and the only right wingers that are worth anything in the Premier League, one is Mahrez, who we didn't get because we got Alexis Sanchez, and that is the big, like, talk about the one transfer that we thought was going to change the tide in Manchester.
Yeah, we were fucking wrong about
that. We thought Sanchez was going to come in, we'd be better for it this season, and City would be worse. You know, then they go out and they're like, oh, well, we can't get Sanchez, so we get Mahrez, and then Mahrez is in fuego, and he'd be so deadly on the right wing at Manchester United. And Sanchez should have gone to City and done exactly what he was doing over there. And then we should have got Mahrez and have him doing what he's doing over there. at Manchester United. So I do think
that it's dark days.
That's a tough one to see. I mean, our right wing is.
I think a new manager could bring the best out of him. To be fair, I don't think it's done and gone yet. But
he looks
right
like
now,
he's well paid and doesn't give a shit. I'll tell you that much. Next article: Zinedine Zidane will return to management quote soon, says son Enzo. Enzo, what does he know?
Which is the son. You know, they might speak on a regular basis.
I know, but he's. I mean, like, he's not sitting.
He's coming back, though. He's his front man.
And he's since been tipped to replace Jose Mourinho following the Portuguese struggles at United this season. Zidane was renowned for his attacking style of play in the Spanish capital. I do remember him standing on the sideline there and looking like he's going to get fired in his last season. Then he ended up winning the Champions League. And that was fairly lucky if you look at how they got there. I'm just going to say, he's not the baby Jesus everyone's making him out to be. He did have some poor spells and looked out of depth sometimes. That's a high beta move. I don't need him at Manchester United.
You're cooling on Zidane now.
So the only way Zidane would be worth his medal is if he can get the best out of Paul Pogba, right? Now,
I think that's what you're banking on.
Yeah, and Martial, right? You got the French connection. I don't hate on the French connection, but as far as his experience as a manager, there were times at Real Madrid where he looked like he didn't know what he was doing from a managerial perspective. And ended up turning into good silverware and a lot of titles. And he ended up cutting his losses and leaving, which was like pretty smart on his part.
That's only because Real Madrid is so fickle in terms of you fuck up for three games and you get fired.
He had a bad season and won the Champions League. Like it was
a bad season for Real Madrid.
Bad.
He's not eighth.
Yeah, but look at the players at Real Madrid.
Negative one goal differential.
And this is more of a project, right? That's why I like the Eddie Howe and the Pochettino. That's more of a long term investment. Zinedine Zidane is kind of like it's more. After you come off Mourinho, you need to go back to something like a little less shiny.
I do like the idea
risky.
Of the old school, like Eddie Howe would be a perfect appointment like that. Pochettino,
Pochettino guy. Pochettino would be just, you know, he's not going to be incredible. He has the potential to be incredible with a great checkbook, right? We don't know that. It's unproven. He has the potential to be, but he's not going to be bad. He's not going to be as bad as Moyes. He's going to be better than Mourinho as well. And it'll be like sustainable, long-lasting change over the long term, you know, investing in youth. We have to go with Pochettino. Because there's an argument for why when we see Chong this year, you know, Tuan Zebe should be recalled probably. I mean, these are things that Mourinho is just, it's almost like he just only likes certain players. The lineups don't make any sense. It's so frustrating, right? When you think about this team, it's like the way he puts us together, it doesn't make any sense. Why not bring Tuan Zebe back?
Well, so let's talk about Poch, though. I agree with you, bro, but like you
but
need someone who's
Pochettino
moral.
Would do that.
He
That's
would,
what I'm saying.
He's access to really good players. His youth setup is really good, really deep, and there are players all around the league that you can poach from, take from, like that don't need to be on loan at Aston Villa right now when you have an injury crisis.
Yeah, so the difference maker would be is – Pochettino would never start that lineup against Arsenal at home. And he would not play those tactics, and he wouldn't start those players. And that's the problem at Manchester United right now. You could blame the board all you want, but if they're writing a £91 million check for Koulibaly, I mean, can't blame them right now. If they're willing to splash the cash for these big players, it's really the management and the tactics day to day, because we have good players on this team.
We do. We have a very good team. We have a very good team that's underperforming like so bad, in the same way Chelsea underperformed when he was just going full meltdown mode and just like doesn't give a fuck anymore. And you've seen it, and that's why I'm so, like, we got to get him out of here ASAP, bro, because it's skunk is going to just skunk everybody else and piss everybody off about their experience at United, and you need to pull the plug.
Yeah, and it's also like he lost his luster. Like, had a time where I liked Mourinho, I was all about him, and he was doing well, and it all stopped in preseason when he started just coming out in the press and just
bitching about
and just bitching at the players that were there. And as soon as he went full troll, then he lost me there. Because before then, he was actually pretty reasonable, and he didn't have any of that Mourinho drama. But again, the third season, it's almost like he wants to be fired here.
Clockwork, bro, like clockwork.
Give me that Pochettino. Next article, Manchester United, disabled fans want netting to protect them from missiles.
So apparently this is an issue, sir.
No, I would say projectiles.
Projectiles. They call them missiles in England.
Yeah, they call them missiles. But yeah, like the away fans support, if you've ever been to Old Trafford, it's in the Stretford End. It's on the left-hand side in that back corner. And, you know, they have a shot at the handicap area. And people were throwing things at handicap fans. I would say, yeah, put the away fans in netting. You know, just put a net over.
Straight up cage style like they do in South America and shit. And like second league Italy. Why not, bro? It's like they should, first of all, they shouldn't get that corner because it makes them artificially loud. They should put them up in like the fucking bleachers, bro. Top rack.
Yeah.
In a little corner, you know, completely fenced in, because this stadium is like makes them seem much, much more of a presence than they actually are. It amplifies them because they have a low ceiling above them, and they always sound like booming when in actuality...
No, it is a rocking corner, but that's why the Stretford ends there, to drown them out. But, I mean, safety is the number one priority for the fans, and people are throwing things like, yeah, put up a net. I don't care if the away fans have a shit view. We've been to plenty of away matches in England with Manchester United fans, and they put you in like a box.
And they treat
the match.
And sometimes they treat
like dogs. Like I've been yelled at by stewards for no reason, just like coming at you. Like
I don't
hard,
like you, sir.
Just because you're a Manchester United fan, they do not like dealing with the away support, and they literally put you in these pens that they guard.
Don't
like
go
to a bunch of dogs.
Don't go to Sunderland. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Don't go to Sunderland. Sunderland.
Hell
was,
of a match. It was a hell of a match. I wish we were playing that well
we
now. Saw Zlatan's last goal.
Zlatan's last goal. We saw Moyes get relegated pretty much. It wasn't that bad of a trip. And we won. We got 3 points.
Oh, yeah. That was
Moyes was the coach.
That was,
yeah,
I forgot about Moyes, sir.
There you go. Jumping to the fan question. Peter from Sydney, Australia. Hey, fellas, is there any chance Mourinho will get to pick the transfers in January if he's still around? I mean, you're going to have to ask Alex here because I have the famous Deschum bet here that Mourinho will be fired before we play Fulham away in February.
That's true. But either way, it's still,
so
he'll
still
be around.
I think it's out of his hands by now. I think the relationship with the board has soured so much that they know he's going and he knows he's going. And that's probably why he's acting the way he is. Very apathetic. And I think the board just is identifying world-class defensive targets right now to buy. And the right wing, it's probably going to be dealt with in the summer. I guarantee you whoever is the next Manchester United, they will whoever is the next Manchester United manager will know before the summer, and they will float the targets in front of them, whether that's Poch, whether that's Zidane, or whether that's Howe. Now, you're a big Eddie Howe guy, you know, but what do you think?
Dude, look at the record, bro. He's done a lot with a little. I would agree with you. I think you hit it actually perfectly. Is like he might – they know what they need. They know they need center back, right winger. I think he has soured it quite a bit. He might have a little bit of say in like the center back is legit because maybe they trust his acumen as long as he fits the protocol of like, oh, he's less, you know, at least 27 and under, something that makes sense for a team that like is in this stage, not like a 31-year-old, you know, like a 31-year-old whistle. So those kind of signs aren't happening. Like they're not. I don't think they're signing Arnautovic for fucking £50 million when he's like 29 too, right? Like, and
I'm glad that. January signings for me, look at Sanchez, didn't come off.
Sometimes they do.
You have to go back to Vidic and Evra to really
Mata.
Document. I mean, did it? Has he really come off? You know,
I think he.
I mean, it was a good pickup. It wasn't necessarily like a squad changing. You know, signing. He's been kind of on and off.
Changer.
Mata's always been on and off for us throughout all the managers that have had him. He's never really been a solid starter. You look at Di Maria as a great example of people who get signed. He didn't come in January. He came in the summer.
He did very
good. Yeah, but either way, I'm not like, for me, I think of it year to year. I'm not like, oh, we're going to sign someone in January. We're going to make a run at top four. Like,
no,
I don't
happen,
you know, you think it's going to, we're going to sign a defender in January. It's going to change our team. I mean, I think
if we get rid of the coach, maybe.
Yeah, so I'm more focused on that than anything. And the way I think about it now is that Mourinho knows he's out. The board knows he's out. So the board probably is not consulting him on transfers because it's got to be. He's fired if he doesn't make top four. And that's probably been communicated to him in some way, shape, or form. And he probably just knows it because of his contract. You're playing the game at the highest level here. And if that clause in his contract is true where he's cheaper to fire out of top four, I think he knows he's going to be fired. So that's why Jose's sitting there acting the way he is. And that's why the board is going to just let him manage our lovely Manchester United into the ground
down,
until
bro.
They can save some cheddar, which is, I don't think, right. You know, if you look at Southampton, they're firing their manager, trying
bringing
to get
in a
better.
Good manager, actually.
Exactly.
An exciting manager. It's done a lot with RB, Red Bulls over in Leipzig. But they've been playing attacking football, bro, like exciting attacking football that United could use.
And why would the board let Jose Mourinho sink this ship? I mean, there's no reason for them to just let him manage the rest of the season other than money. And that's the thing that kills
it's such
me
little
inside.
Money. It's such a little amount of money. That's like, doesn't make sense at all. They're yeah. that cheap over like 8 million pounds.
But to me, it's about, I don't know. It's just about the spirit of the club and how Mourinho is a dead man walking and he should be moving on. But the board is just kind of keeping this virus at the club. I mean, what evidence, what type of catalyst would it take for us to fire him? Honestly, what do you think? Like, we drew Arsenal. It's not a win. It's like he's doing something.
Losing to Fulham at home, bro. Have you lost to Fulham at home? Who have 9 points?
Yeah, but I would argue tying Crystal Palace at home is a fireable offense.
Should be.
Tying Southampton. Mark Hughes got fired for not beating Manchester United.
Because you tie once, not that. But like the way we've been playing for months, the negativity, all the fallout and drama from the dressing room, it's like you just got to see the writing on the wall. And the writing on the wall is that he's in full season 3 Mourinho meltdown mode, and you just fucking like you kill the boy, bro. You don't just like let
kill
it just
the boy,
keep
Jon Snow.
You don't just let it just like keep just shitting all over the place. You just get him out of there, because the other stewards we have just sitting around, Carrick and McKenna, can do a decent job, and I bet you they got dude. I bet you they can get us in the top four if you do it soon enough.
And I think the fans would just feel like a weight is off our shoulders, not having to see him at these pressers, seeing so it just
a cloud, bro.
You know, it's like a dark cloud over Manchester United. I think everyone will walk a little lighter. We might attack a little more. We might play worse defense. But at the end of the day, the fans would rather see Manchester United finish like 14th and play a certain style than finish 5th under Mourinho and play this 3 at the back against Arsenal at home.
It's rough.
You know, it's
real rough.
It is rough. But hey, let's look on the bright side. There's always Fulham, and they're the worst in the league. And this is a great opportunity for us to get in the positive goal differential range, sir.
Sir, we better be. I mean, not the way I predicted, but the way you did, we would pop our heads out of the red, bro, and into the black.
So out of the red, but
speaking of positivity.
Positivity. Hey, we want to thank all you guys for tuning in, listening to the American Red Devils, our raw fan take. We've been loyal supporters here for more than a decade. And, you know, we go to Manchester United every year. This year, we're going Fulham away. It'll be hopefully, I bet Mourinho's not going to be there, and I hope he's not, but I can't wait. It's coming up, sir, very soon, and we'll be giving you some interesting content while we're on the road. And we'd like to thank our top downloads by city this last 7 days. It's been a hell of a 7 days as a Manchester United fan, ups and downs and draws everywhere you look. We want to thank San Francisco, California, where we're broadcasting from, number one on the list. Shout out to you, SF crew.
Appreciate it.
Number two, Bryanston, South Africa.
Wow.
New town on the list.
Welcome
making
to the list.
Making headway. Central District, Hong Kong.
What
sir,
up,
you
HK?
Were just there watching the game. Watched the derby. We lost miserably. You almost got in a fight over your Rooney jersey. There
God
you go.
Goddamn Aussies. Number four, New York, New York. Number five, what up, Chi-Town. And number six, Brooklyn, New York.
Dude, Toronto, Canada, Houston, Texas, London, mate, UK, and Miami, Florida, coming at you last place for the last 7 days.
Appreciate you.
And we're also doing a free sticker giveaway. It's a pretty cool sticker. It's our Twitter handle logo if you've ever followed us on Twitter. But all you need to do is drop a review on iTunes, preferably a good one, not a shit one, and screenshot it. You can email us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, or you can DM us on Twitter at @USAREDDevils, and we'll mail you a sticker to wherever you would like, and then you can rep us in whatever fashion you like. I'm looking at Alex's water bottle right now. He's got a sticker on it. Looks pretty.
Looks mint, sir.
Looks pretty good.
Send it to Hong Kong, bro. Just send us that review.
Just send us that review on iTunes.
We'll deal with the postage later.
And appreciate all you guys. Hey, things get always the darkest before the dawn, sir.
There you go, sir.
Is
well
that a
said.
Batman movie quote there?
I think it's a little older than Batman, but it is from Dark Knight, I believe.
Yeah, I think Dark Knight as far as where I picked it up from. But hey, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy the week. Keep your head up. Hey, it was a tough fought draw at Arsenal. We're going to be murking Fulham at home. You heard it here. Alex thinks it's a draw. What do you mean?
Dude, it's got to be a win. Never forget, you support the greatest club in the world. And always, we're going to be kicking a blue.
Kicking a blue.